whipped blood from their backs, sworn themselves to a lifetime of celibacy or to lonely silence, all in the service of religion. What is it all for? What is the benefit of religion?
By benefit, the Darwinian normally means some enhancement to the survival of the individual's genes. What is missing from this is the important point that Darwinian benefit is not restricted to the genes of the individual organism. There are three possible alternative targets of benefit. One arises from the theory of group selection, and I'll come to that. The second follows from the theory that I advocated in The Extended Phenotype. The individual you are watching may be working under the manipulative influence of genes in another individual, perhaps a parasite. Dan Dennett reminds us that the common cold is universal to all human peoples in much the same way as religion is, yet we would not want to suggest that colds benefit us. Plenty of examples are known of animals manipulated into behaving in such a way as to benefit the transmission of a parasite to its next host. I encapsulated the point in my central theorem of the extended phenotype. An animal's behaviour tends to maximise the survival of the genes for that behaviour, whether or not those genes happen to be in the body of the particular animal performing it. Third, the central theorem may substitute for genes the more general term replicators. The fact that religion is ubiquitous probably means that it has worked to the benefit of something, but it may not be us or our genes. It may be to the benefit of only the religious ideas themselves, to the extent that they behave in a somewhat gene-like way as replicators. I shall deal with this below under the heading Tread Softly, Because You Tread on My Memes. Meanwhile, I press on with more traditional interpretations of Darwinism, in which benefit is assumed to mean benefit to individual survival and reproduction.
Hunter-gatherer peoples, such as Australian Aboriginal tribes, presumably live in something like the way our distant ancestors did. The New Zealand-Australian philosopher of science Kim Sterelny points up a dramatic contrast in their lives. On the one hand, Aboriginals are superb survivors under conditions that test their practical skills to the uttermost. But Sterelny goes on, intelligent as our species might be, we are perversely intelligent. The very same peoples who are so savvy about the natural world and how to survive in it simultaneously clutter their minds with beliefs that are palpably false, and for which the word useless is a generous understatement. Sterelny himself is familiar with Aboriginal peoples of Papua New Guinea. They survive under arduous conditions where food is hard to come by dint of
a legendarily accurate understanding of their biological environment. But they combine this understanding with deep and destructive obsessions about female menstrual pollution and about witchcraft. Many of the local cultures are tormented by fears of witchcraft and magic and by the violence that accompanies those fears.
Sterelny challenges us to explain
how we can be simultaneously so smart and so dumb.
Though the details differ across the world, no known culture lacks some version of the time-consuming, wealth-consuming, hostility-provoking rituals, the anti-factual, counterproductive fantasies of religion. Some educated individuals may have abandoned religion, but all were brought up in a religious culture from which they usually had to make a conscious decision to depart. The old Northern Ireland joke, "Yes, but are you a Protestant atheist or a Catholic atheist?" is spiked with bitter truth. Religious behaviour can be called a human universal in the same way as heterosexual behaviour can. Both generalisations allow individual exceptions, but all those exceptions understand only too well the rule from which they have departed. Universal features of a species demand a Darwinian explanation. Obviously, there is no difficulty in explaining the Darwinian advantage of sexual behaviour. It is about making babies, even on those occasions where contraception or homosexuality seems to belie it. But what about religious behaviour? Why do humans fast, kneel, genuflect, self-flagellate, nod maniacally towards a wall, crusade, or otherwise indulge in costly practices that can consume life and, in extreme cases, terminate it?
Direct advantages of religion. There is a little evidence that religious belief protects people from stress-related diseases. The evidence is not strong, but it would not be surprising if it were true, for the same kind of reason as faith healing might turn out to work in a few cases. I wish it were not necessary to add that such beneficial effects in no way boost the truth value of religious claims.